Alleluia, he's risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Christ's agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, in his pain of Good Friday, ends in the joy of Easter. The Jews and the Romans put to death the King of the Jews, but it was the sin of the world which compelled our Savior to the cross. It was his passionate love to free sinners from their sin which sought the Father's cup of suffering, wrath, and death in our place. Yet Jesus defeated our great enemy, which is death itself. He descended into hell victorious on Holy Saturday and resurrected from the grave to new life on Sunday morning. Now, the news of that Sunday morning was certainly shocking. In our reading from the Gospel of Mark, the women at the tomb were initially met with fear and trembling. Though we know that the story doesn't end with them leaving the tomb just in fear. The women weren't scared of just an angel, and nor were they scared at our risen Savior. At least not in the sense that we're talking about. The end of our text does say that they were fearful. And that may strike some of us as odd, because we'd expect a different kind of emotion on Easter. I mean, your Messiah just rose from the dead. Smile a little bit. But fear seized the women. Not an unholy fear, but a holy fear. If it was an unholy fear, their immediate action wouldn't be obedience to the Lord's messenger. They wouldn't have extended the angel's message to the disciples. These women had a holy fear. They ran to share the good news of Jesus' absence from the tomb of death. They listened to the angel's command and went to the disciples. Mark's gospel uses that word, fear, to describe any event surrounding a divine miracle, which demonstrates Jesus' divine nature. And there are a ton of examples from Jesus' ministry. Here are a few. After Jesus calmed the sea, the disciples feared a great fear because they've never seen someone have control over the sea. Only the creator of the universe could have control over such things. Also, they feared when they saw that Jesus had healed a well-known demon-possessed man. Because this wasn't some sort of sideshow trick. But this was an immediate change from demon possession to being well. Only someone with authority over Satan and his demons could do such a thing. The woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years touched Jesus' garment and was healed. After being healed, she knelt at Jesus' feet with fear and trembling. All these people feared Jesus in the ministry, not because they were scared of him, not because they wanted to hide in a corner somewhere, because they were afraid of Jesus' wrath. Rather, these people feared Jesus because of his great power used to care for people. They feared Jesus because he came in love to the lowliest to give them life. But they didn't run away from Jesus in unholy fear. They ran toward Jesus in holy fear. Because his divine acts show that he is the promised Messiah who has come to save his people. So why did the women leave the tomb fearful? Because they've encountered another one of Jesus' divine miracles. But this one's different. They've come across Jesus, but he's not just casting out demons, calming storms, or healing illnesses. But now Jesus has shown the ultimate act of his divinity. He's risen from the dead. He's so mighty and powerful that even death could not contain him. But power over death isn't the only thing he has. His passion led him to undergo a terrible crucifixion on Good Friday. He could have lifted himself out of suffering and death. He could have come off the cross if he wished, but he didn't. He subjected himself to suffering and death because of his passion for you. He redeemed you, purchased and won you from eternal death, not with gold or silver, but with his own precious blood. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we would have no Christianity. Because who would listen to a dead teacher, a dead Messiah, let alone die for his name's sake? Jesus predicted his own death and resurrection. So if it didn't come to fruition, there would be no reason to believe anything else he said. He would have been counted as a kook. His life and teaching would have been a relic of the past with no present implications. I guess in that regard, some today still attribute death to Jesus. But Christ did rise from the dead. The apostolic witness was upheld and continues today. Thus, Jesus confirms who he is and what he says with his resurrection. He confirms that he is the only Son of God. He confirms he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He confirms he is the resurrection and the life. He confirms he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one gets to the Father except through him. His words haven't fallen short of their promises, and they never will. We can trust his teachings because he rose from the dead. The women at the tomb were met with shock at this great news. They encountered the pinnacle of Jesus' divine acts, resurrection from the dead. And this confirmed everything he said of himself. So their fear doesn't scare them away from Jesus. But their holy fear drives them toward Jesus. As we see in John's resurrection account, when Mary meets Jesus, who she at first thought was the gardener, she doesn't run away from him in fear, but rather she clings to him in holy fear. I often see fear in Christians. Not necessarily a healthy dose of fear, where we run to Jesus instead of away from him. Some have holy fear that runs towards the resurrected Christ, falling down and embracing him when he offers himself in word and sacrament at church. Others have the kind of fear that doesn't necessarily run away from Christ, but their fear certainly finds no refuge in him. Their fear concerns themselves with matters of the world, rather than with the matters of the resurrection. They fear worldly things above godly things. Their thoughts, desires, time, and concerns are set on matters of this life rather than on matters of the resurrected life. To give an example, a poll just came out. Religious church membership is below the majority of Americans for the first time ever. In 2020, 47% of U.S. adults belonged to a church, synagogue, or mosque. So Christians are even less than that 47%. And then you got to ask yourself, how many of those Christians run towards the resurrected Christ? How many of those Christians receive the resurrected Savior's body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, or confess their sins and receive absolution regularly? Now, some cite these stats to show doom and gloom for Christianity's future. They fear the loss of what once was. Maybe even to the point of fearing that Christianity will just die off. Surely Christianity is not what it used to be in America. There are some things to point to which can be disheartening from a Christian worldview. But take heart. Take comfort. Christianity cannot die. Because Jesus is not dead. Nothing ever changes the hope that we have in the resurrection. Nothing ever stops the gathering of God's people fleeing toward the refuge of the risen Christ, who take comfort in the fact that the things of this world are ultimately temporary and futile. Christians take comfort in meekness, for the meek shall inherit the earth, with a resurrected, sinless body. And so we celebrate with an empty tomb, because we know that Christ will raise us bodily from our grave, all because Christ has conquered Satan, death, and the grave. He has turned the tree of death into the tree of life. So to him we turn in holy fear. We need not fear anything in this life because we have life after this. We only fear the risen Christ. And that's why we run to him and cling to him, just as the women at the tomb. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.